Welcome to the Every Nation Church Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
My role here this morning is to review for you the mission statement of Every Nation. I believe that's the series that the church is into. And it talks about the mission statement. And that's the good thing about our movement is there's a very succinct, very short, very clear, really role of what we do. And in essence, what we do is to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. And I want to quickly walk you through this. The reason why we exist is to honor God. That's the why we do what we do. There has to be a motivating factor. There has to be something that wakes you up in the morning that wants you to do the things that you're supposed to do. And it's to honor God. You can honor God on your own. You don't need a church to do that. But for a church to honor God means we have to be establishing Christ-centered churches. We don't just establish churches. We establish churches that are centered on Christ. We believe that the essence of life is Jesus Christ, that the whole Bible is centered on this one person. And that's what we do. That's how we do it. We don't just build churches. We build churches that are centered on Christ. But more importantly, not just centered on Christ, it's a combination of being centered in Christ and yet being powered by the Holy Spirit. That we realize we can't do this out of our own strength, out of our own abilities, or even out of our own spiritual gusto. In other words, we our own energies are not enough to be able to accomplish this and honor God in the way that we've written this statement. Lastly, we wanted to be a spiritually empowered church, but we also wanted to be a socially responsible church. And this is how we build what we build. We build it with Christ being at the center, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, and being socially responsible. That's how. And then we do what we do, our churches and campus ministries. We don't do a lot of things, but this is the two things that are focal to us. These are the two things that we essentially do as a movement. That whole entire conference is centered around this one statement here. We do that every 3 years. That's the good news for you and me. You can actually be in South Africa. Unfortunately, I think it's every 3 years we go to Manila, we go to the States, and then we go to South Africa. So 9 years from now, you can go to South Africa again. Okay, I will be there. I would be 68 by then. But the good news is we still can make it. Now, finally, it's in every nation. We just don't do it in Singapore. We just don't do it in Manila. We do it worldwide. We do it everywhere. That's where we do it. This morning, my task is to talk to you about this idea of being spiritually empowered. What does that mean? How the Holy Spirit works in us. I want to read two quotes from you from two very known men of God about the Holy Spirit and pick up from there. I'm starting out with Oswald Chambers, where he says, "The Spirit is the first power we practically experience, but the last power we come to understand." Isn't it interesting that many of the things that happen in our life, our salvation, starts out with the Holy Spirit working in our lives. But interestingly, very few really understand fully who the Holy Spirit is. In fact, many times when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's either on the fringe of weirdness or it's on the fringe of something that is unknown. And there's elements of God that are not completely known. How many of you know, if you know everything about God, He ceases to be God? But then again, there is enough revelation because that's who the Holy Spirit is. He's supposed to reveal things to us. The other quote I want to read is from Jim Zembala, where he says, "The Holy Spirit is God's agent on earth, yet He is least understood, least preached about, least discussed member of the Trinity." Many people don't know who the Holy Spirit is or have a semblance of saying the name Holy Spirit, but really don't know how this works. And that's why we want to talk about Him today. But I want to take it from a very different angle. I want to give you the reason why you want to know who the Holy Spirit is. Rather than tell you who He is, I want you to know why it's important for you and me to know who the Holy Spirit is. I'm taking off from a verse in John chapter 10, verse 10, where it says, "The thief cometh," this is the King James Version, "to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you might have it abundantly." I want to draw your attention to the words "more abundantly," which the Greek word perisos could not be translated into English. There was no word equivalent for it. That's why the King James had to use two words, the words more abundantly. The reason why is because the Greek meaning of this word means superior quality, superabundant quantity, beyond excessive advantage in life. How many of you know there's no English language for that? But that's exactly what it means. And I beg the question, it begs the question, if that's what this means, why is it that so many Christians don't have this life? Well, the answer is in the top verse. It says there's a thief, a kleptes, the Greek word kleptes, that steals, the word klepto. It's different from the word lestes, which is a robber that takes things by force. This is a different kind of thief. This guy steals from you when you don't realize he's stealing from you. And many people lose the essence of the perisos life, the great life that God had intended for them, because they failed to realize there's a kleptes. There's somebody out there deceiving them and leading them astray so that they can steal, that he can steal the life that God had intended. And when he can steal that from you, he can thus destroy you or kill you and destroy you. It's interesting how this progression goes. He can't actually kill and destroy you until he first steals from you. Isn't that interesting? You got to understand something about this thief. The devil is not omnipresent, he's not omnipotent, and he's not omniscient. In other words, he doesn't have the power to do this unless you give it to him. And so today I'm going to show you how he steals it from you, so and why you need the Holy Spirit to overcome this. The way he does this is primarily through temptation. Temptation is seduction. Temptation is really his way of making you question God's word. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. That's what he tried to do with Jesus. Every demonic step in your life will not begin with some flashing lightning or a pitchfork, a devil with a tail, dressed in red pajamas, or a horror story. It will start with temptation. Every single time, that's how this works. If you fall for that temptation, it will lead to deception. And deception is really your thinking wrong. In other words, he gets you to not just be tempted. That deception causes you to go the wrong way. Temptation is the initiator. Deception is what makes you go astray. Condemnation is when you sin and now you feel you're in this cage. It's the cage. I call it the cage of condemnation. On the one end, you have the wall of guilt. On the other end, you have the wall of shame. On the other end, you have the wall of self-righteousness, where you're trying very hard to get out of this cage and you can't make it work, so you're back to unrighteousness. This four-walled cage, which many people, not just people, even Christians, find themselves in. That's the progression. That's how he steals. And once you're in that cage that you actually built yourself, he can be like a roaring lion that's chasing you around, that makes life a very tiring life. That's pretty much most of Christians, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And they don't even realize the game. Temptation, deception, condemnation, and finally, accusation. In essence, isolation. When you have accusation, you start blaming God and blaming the church and blaming your small group and blaming people. And once he's got you isolated, he pretty much can steal, kill, and destroy you. Let me walk you through what God's means of delivering you from all of these. This is really God's way of making sure you don't fall into temptation. And the first one is prayer. Jesus said, watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. There is no antidote to temptation other than prayer. If you don't pray on a regular basis, you're going to be prone to temptation. Prayer is your way of declaring before God, God, this day will not work without you. And every time you fail to pray, what you've done is you've made a declaration, I can make this day work without you. Prayer is that time where you're going to God, and not in a weird way, but in a real sense that I'm dependent on you. I mentioned to you about my father's situation. And I really have so much peace about it because I've been praying for my father for decades. He's now 87 years old. The more you pray, the more you have peace regardless of the situation you face. But if you're not praying, you're prone to temptation. Deception, the antidote is truth, the Word of God. If you're not spending time in the Word of God, the less you know about the Word of God, the more pronation you're going to have to temptation and deception. It's easy to deceive somebody who doesn't know the truth. Very hard to deceive somebody who knows the truth. Finally, the condemnation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And lastly, the antidote to accusation is what you're doing right now, fellowship. Hang out with the right people, with the right spirit. Talk to you about the Holy Spirit and prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness because we do not know how to pray. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because we don't know how to pray, and if we don't know how to pray, we're going to be prone to temptation. The more we rely on the Holy Spirit, the more we trust Him, the more we say, Lord, I need you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, oh God, I need you today. I need you to fill me. I need you to strengthen me. I cannot go out of my own strength. I need you. With groanings too deep for words. I showed you the picture of my Instagram of my father. Had a stroke, got to be in the hospital, and I spent days with him. And after about 10 days, I got bored. I dressed up like a doctor. I got so bored because the guards kept checking my bags. You know, in Manila, they check your bags. So every time I pass by, I'd say, good morning. And they say, hey, doctor, good morning. I know, I'm just joking. But I got so bored with it, but prayer was not helped me go through the 18 days. It was actually what helped me minister to my siblings, to the nurses, to my mother. Prayer with the Holy Spirit is the most powerful thing you can have in your life. And if you don't do it, you're going to be prone to temptation. The devil will have you for lunch. The truth is the second thing that the Holy Spirit gives us. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes," that's who He is. He gives you the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. The Bible tells us to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Do you meditate on the Word of God when you exercise? I was exercising this morning. I was doing my lunges. And I was doing my dips. I was doing my stretches. You should be when you're 60, amen? Almost. But do you meditate on the Word of God? Through the Holy Spirit. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The clouds are just the dust of your feet. I was in the hospital looking at some doves. Well, not actually, they're not doves. They're pigeons. And they're up on the roof. Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air. Do you meditate on the Word? By the Holy Spirit. Because that's how you overcome deception. When you see stuff like this, day in and day out, where life becomes tentative, you're going to need the truth. You're going to need power. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. And you're going to need the gospel. The gospel is the key to the adversary. The advocate, your lawyer, the Holy Spirit, is the one that will bail you out. How often do you remind yourself about the gospel? Do you just do that? You should be doing that every day. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus because I'm the Holy Spirit. The lawyer has set me free. Do you let the Holy Spirit remind you? Or are you even aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit? The devil's not omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is. He's always with you. He's God's agent on the earth. But do you? When I look at my father's drips and how the devil reminds me of the past, I declare over him, there is now no condemnation. There was one poignant moment when I said that to him. And I could see him responding and knowing fully where he was headed. It's important for us to know the Holy Spirit, not in a service, folks. It's important for us to have him 24/7. That's why we put that in the mission statement. That wasn't meant to be just something we say. That was meant to be something we lived by, to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible. We're going to talk about that next week. And finally, fellowship. A fellowship, here's a verse from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 of the NET Bible, and you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you were marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. You and I are marked for fellowship. We may not all look alike. We may not all dress alike. We may not all come from the same social economic backgrounds. We may not speak the same way, but there's a mark on us from the Holy Spirit. I told you about my meeting with these men. I wasn't part of the meeting. I just happened to got invited the morning of the meeting and stepped into this very private meeting of these very senior leaders of the body of Christ in your nation and in the United States. As I sat there and they were asking me, they're friends of mine. All of them are friends of mine. Sans Mike Ware, that's the first time I've met him, but all three of these men are old friends of mine. And as I sat over lunch, they said, how's things with you, Joey? And I said, you know, my dad began to tell them, and Larry Stockstill, Pastor Larry, had just lost his father, and he began to share with me. It was almost like for a brief 15 minutes, it was like everybody else disappeared, and it was just him and me. It was like the Holy Spirit sent me a personal messenger to minister to me. The Holy Spirit's amazing. When we listen to him, when we allow him to lead us, it's amazing. You see, listen, here's the point. When you don't trust in the Holy Spirit, you trust in your limited abilities. When you trust in the Holy Spirit, you've tapped into his, not unlimited, his infinite abilities. You see, we become so religious that we think that God can only do so much. No, God can do a whole lot more. But are you sensitive enough to know that he can? I walked in there. One, I get a free lunch at the Pan Pacific. How many of you, that's good? Amen? And number two, I get counseling. I get prayed over by four men. Four of the most powerful men in the city. And they're praying over me. And I'm feeling like I'm being waxed up. I'm feeling like I'm being oiled and massaged by the Holy Spirit. Because I've learned. I can't do it. Older I get, the more I realize I really can't. And I need him to be still, to pray, to be in that word, to appropriate that gospel over and over and over, and to fellowship with Pastor Larry, who's an encourager. I mean, I couldn't believe he was prophesying again. I mean, he's a prophet. That's why we're asking him. That's one of the reasons why I came here, is because we want Pastor Larry to travel some more and help our churches. The Holy Spirit's real. As I close, these are the names of the devil. He's the tempter, the deceiver, the adversary, and he's the accuser. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our revealer. He's the Spirit of truth. The devil is our adversary. He's the lawyer that accuses us. The Holy Spirit is our advocate that keeps reminding us, Joey, it's fine. There is no condemnation. All the sins are under the blood. The walls of guilt fall by the wayside. The walls of shame melt. I don't have to be self-righteous and I don't have to be unrighteous. I have the righteousness of Christ in me. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I'm heaven bound. Whatever happens here is temporary. And God's have my destiny set and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Can you look up here for a minute? There is nothing weird about the Holy Spirit. Zero. Nothing. He's the Spirit of truth. He makes things plain. He doesn't try to make things more spiritual than they are. It actually makes the spiritual natural. He takes the supernatural and makes it so natural. It's not the other way around. Don't take the natural and try to make it supernatural. That gets weird. You got the Holy Spirit, you're already in the realms of the supernatural. He's just going to make it natural for you. You just have to walk in it every day. Learn how to pray. And you don't have to pray like me, and you don't have to pray like everybody else or Pastor Larry. You're going to pray differently. Prayers are your way of talking to God. And how many of you know, look at your neighbor. He doesn't look like you, amen? Thank God. Because you were meant to be different. And you're going to have your own language. My language is I walked with God this morning, kicking leaves in Kallang Road, crying a little bit every now and then, remembering my folks, sending up my love to Him and saying, God, the Holy Spirit's with me. There's nothing weird about it. Part of it was part exercise. Part of it was part conversation. Part of it was part word. The Holy Spirit breathing on it. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this morning. Holy Spirit, oh God, thank you. Bless your church. Holy Spirit, cause our hearts to be yielded to you, to seek you in prayer, in truth, to be reminded that there is no condemnation, that we have access, and that we have the ability to hear, to smell, to feel, to touch, to know your kingdom, to know the Father. And Holy Spirit, remind us that we have an advocate and that you've sealed us with the mark of eternity all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Church Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, please visit everynation.org.sg.